y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the rap game, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that.
We back, bitches!
Hell yeah!
My name is Miguel Fuller. That is Holly O'Connor.
Hello!
That is producer Ryan.
Hi.
That is associate producer Scotty the Body from USF.
Hi.
We've had lots of people saying, what? Where y'all been? We missed the podcast. We love you on the radio, but we want to hear y'all. No music, no commercials, no nothing.
Yeah.
It's just been busy.
Yeah, there's been a lot going on.
It has been a busy, busy month. I think a month. That was our beginning or middle of April was the last podcast that we did. So it's just been like really crazy. Holly and I, we went to the Billboard Music Awards.
That was amazing.
That was so fun. We got to talk to people like Halsey and Khalid.
Brendan Urie.
Yes. It was a really fun time. So that was like a whole week. And then right after that was Cinco de Mayo. And it's just been like nonstop. And then your daughter had spring break. So then you had to go pick her up after school, after work every day. So yeah. It's just been like nonstop.
It's
been so much going on.
Totally nuts. So I'm glad we're back though.
So Scott.
Yes.
You have graduated from college.
Yes, I have.
Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm down to talk about it because it is definitely a weird transition into life.
So let's talk about the actual graduation ceremony from USF.
Yeah.
I had a few people that came to me and they were like, I can't believe you and Holly and Ryan weren't at his graduation ceremony. Now, when you were walking across the stage, we were on a plane coming from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I don't know where Ryan was. He was probably on a boat somewhere.
What day was that?
I don't even remember. No, I mean, honestly, like, if it wasn't, like, me or my girlfriend, like, I would not go to that graduation because it's just long. Like, you could celebrate after, tell them congratulations. Like, I think that does justice just as much.
Yeah, I feel like the graduation ceremony itself is really for immediate family.
Yeah, I mean, I have my parents there, my grandparents there, then, like, my cousins. And that's, like, my knit.
Yeah. But, I mean, we would have celebrated.
Oh, no. I mean, what the heck? I'd like to even coming in and just being in here getting celebrated. That's cool.
We did shots at Franklin Manor.
We did.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So that
we did.
I spent about $200 on you and your friend, Scott, that night.
I'm appreciative of it, yes. And that night was probably one of the most wild I've had, at least all year.
You're welcome.
Definitely this semester. Yeah. So that
you
was
nuts.
You
only have to pay him back for half of it.
That actually caused a fight between me and Mr. Silver Fox, my boyfriend. Because that night of Franklin Manor of your graduation, he was dog sitting for some friends of ours. And so he has been working like nonstop. And so he went straight from work to their house to dog sit. So he couldn't make it out.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, well, I'm not going over there because I had to be up Saturday morning for a broadcast. And I was like, I can't go over there. So I'm going to just go home. And so apparently, like, I called him at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning on Instagram.
What?
I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't even know that was possible. But apparently, I called him on Instagram, and I was like, I miss you so much. I wish you were here. I spent so much money on all these straight college boys. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
And so then the next morning, he was like, do you remember what you told me on the phone last night? And I was like, I don't even know where I am.
Okay.
And he was like, so what about all these college boys that you were spending money on last night? And I was like, I don't know. I don't
could
remember.
You, just for a second, could you even imagine if the roles were reversed?
Oh, my God.
Could you even imagine a world where he went out and you were sleeping and he called you and said that he just spent a bunch of money on some college boys? I just started quaking in my boots.
Listen, there is every relationship, there are double standards a little bit.
Yes.
Oh, every one of them.
Everyone has that one or few things that you can do it, but if the roles were reversed,
it's not,
you can't do it. You can't do it.
Okay.
You can't do it.
That's
one of mine that, I mean, he knows that. I mean, obviously, like, Scott and his friends are straight, so I'm not going to be like, now, it would be one thing if, like, Scott were gay and all his friends were gay, and then it was like, I bought shots for all these gay college boys that were hot. That's one thing, but they're all straight, and ain't nothing about to happen.
Yep.
But if it were the reverse, even if they were straight or gay, I'd probably lose my mind.
No, we would have had an entire horrible week on the air. we would have finally been able to bring it up on Thursday. You would have stewed about it for like 3 days before you even talked to us about it. Then we would have talked on Thursday. Then we would have brought it up on Friday, done carry through it all the way to Monday. So, yeah. No, I know.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the worst.
No, it's just we know you.
Like, Ryan, do you have that double standard in your relationship with your girlfriend, Taryn?
I'm over here trying to think of one.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found one yet.
So, like, something that you can do but they can't do, and, like, if the roles were reversed, it wouldn't be okay. Scott, do you have that for you?
I think in the beginning I used to. Like, I used to get a little, like, not worried. I just don't trust guys. I think that's what it kind of comes down to. Like, I don't trust creepy
guys. I feel like every guy says that.
Yeah, but I think it's, like, a legitimate thing when, like, I have my girlfriend in the very beginning of our relationship, when she would go out, I'd be like, you know, go do your thing. But I'd still get upset and probably start a fight later that night and be like, okay, like probably say something sassy and it would just kind of lead into it. Then I never really know how to talk about my problem. So it just comes out.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay. But that's ended now. Now I'm like, go, girl, get it. Bye. Wait,
but when you were starting fights with her before she went out, like, did you have an end game in mind or were you just mad?
I think it was more so like in my head, I had this picture of like, oh, you messed up. You did something.
You, and- Scott?
Let's say something did happen. So in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm going to bring this up like I know, even though nothing happened. So I'm just like preparing my mind for the worst.
So she could go out and then you'll get mad later, but then you're sitting at home scrolling on Instagram like in bikini pics.
Okay.
Girls.
That's also been resolved.
Awkward.
But again, that was way, way many years ago. So now it's like we could just go do our thing and we're not worried about one another.
I got you.
Now, what's going to happen with you two? So you're both graduated, and then she's leaving for Virginia in July?
Yep, she's going off to dental school.
So what's going to happen?
I mean, it's going to definitely be a turn in how we communicate. I think the biggest thing now is getting used to different forms of communication, because I'm not really a phone talker, and I don't like texting anymore because we spend so much time in person together. I'm like, all right, I could be off my phone a little bit. We don't need to communicate all the time.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of been changing. Mm. So now she's been spending time at her family's house, kind of spending time with family before she goes. And so we're getting used to FaceTiming and phone calling and texting through the day to keep that line of communication going. And I mean, it's definitely going to be a shock when she leaves, because I'm finally starting to feel that like kind of heart like,
yeah, yeah.
As the time creeps up.
Are and you I don't worried? Know how.
I'm not worried about a relationship. I'm worried that it's just going to hurt. Like, yeah. I'm not used to,
it's going to
being away that long from her, because even, like, I was thinking the other day, even this morning, I'm like, that's my best friend.
Yeah.
That's about to go travel to another state, and I'm rooting for her at the most extreme, but also I'm going to be lost probably for a while of, like, okay, like, I'm off. She's probably in class right now. What do I do?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what it's going to be like, honestly? It's probably a really good thing that in the summer you're going to move in with Miguel, because you'll have sort of a built-in support system literally in the house. Because what's going to happen is that you're going to grieve.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could feel it even as I'm talking about it now. Like,
I know.
Body's like kind of like, it doesn't know what to do with the emotion, so I just kind of get really warm.
Yeah.
And then my body kind of hurts a little bit, so I don't really know how to express it. I'm waiting for the day that it all just kind of just hits.
It'll
probably able to.
Be after she leaves, because then it will really, because it's hard to picture what that's going to look like before it happens. And you don't want to either. You're like, why am I trying to waste the present on future feelings? But I mean, at least you're cognizant of the fact that you know it's coming. You can kind of put it in the back of your head for now. I wish we could like nestle you in a little bird nest so that we can help, because it's going to be really, really shitty for a while.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to like scare you. I'm just trying to prep you, and it's not going to be the end, obviously, because you guys are still going to be together.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you're grieving the way that the relationship has been to this point.
Right.
Yeah.
Now it's different. So you have to grieve what it was and then, you know, move on to what it is.
Yeah. I've kind of told, like, we've had those conversations where, like, I know in the beginning that just random crap is going to come up and we're going to fight about the most random things that we normally wouldn't fight about. Just because there's that underlying factor of, like, I just miss you.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to get mad at random things. And I'm kind of having those conversations with her now of, like, look, we're probably going to fight a lot in the beginning. And it's going to suck. But I'm committed to getting through that. And she is very much so
good
on that line. So we're kind of preparing for it. But you don't know until you're there.
Yeah.
I think one of the hardest things about having your partner away, and I've not in this capacity, but Actually, it's twice in my relationship now with Mr. Silver Fox. He was gone for a month in between being in Buffalo, and then he was in Thailand, and I forgot where else, for his brother's wedding last May. And then this past October, he was gone for a month for work up in Buffalo. And so I think the biggest thing is that you have to find time to have an actual conversation. Mm-hmm. Because, and at least, and this is just from my experience with it, is that I find that by the time, because my boyfriend and I don't text during the day at all because he's a painter, and so he's on a ladder. Like, he has his hands occupied physically doing stuff where I have a chance, an opportunity to text. And so, but he can't, only when he can have, when he's taking a break or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so then I find that, like, when he's gone, if I'm, by the time I do all my stuff during the day and then he's unwinding, I'm like ready for bed. And so then he's like, well, how was your day? And then by that time I'm like, girl, it's 8:30. I don't have the energy to like really get into what my day is. And so we found that like you have to say, all right, on Thursday, you can't be around anybody wherever you are. I can't be around anybody. And we're going to talk about what is happening in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happens is if you go a week or two without having those deep discussions about what's happening in your lives, that's when you're like, wait, who are you? What's going on?
It's really weird how that works. Like you get apart for a while and then you're like, well, I'm not going to bog her down with everything.
Right.
Bog her down.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I want to do with her, too. I want to hear everything about her life because we've had people reach out to us and talk about when they went to dental school and what they have. I even had people at Franklin Manor talking to me about dental school and their experiences and what's really going to help. And that's it. Like, learn everything of what they're going through. Hear their lives and what it's like over in dental school. And then, obviously, my life here in St. Pete and keeping that line of communication as open as possible. Don't think it's too much.
Right. Yeah. Mm. You can't really overshare at that point.
Ugh. Well, I'm just ready to see you cry at some point.
It's Miguel!
I mean, I'm not even going to say it's not going to happen. Like, it's going to happen because I feel my body just slowly getting more and more at ease with, like, look, it's going to happen. Just when it happens, allow it. And I want it to.
You have to,
my body's, like, so built up with emotion that I haven't released in so long.
Well, didn't you tell me yesterday or sometime this week that you haven't cried in, like, years?
Yeah, I mean, the last time I cried was when my mom was going through stuff in the hospital, and that was like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was for, I mean, when I actually cried, it was for probably like 10 seconds, and I sucked it up. And then, not suck it up is like, I'm tough. Like, I literally just like, okay, like, let me just stay strong in this moment. And then a couple phone calls here and there, maybe like a couple choke up moments, but nothing has been like, whoosh.
Can you just cry? You don't have to do it in front of Miguel.
No, yes, you do.
You need
yes,
to have one to of on those guttural, like, body-shaking sobs because
it
helps so much.
Don't
like, I don't know what you're even talking about. Shut up, Ryan. Shut up. Because I'll tell you what, it feels so good after the fact. I told my daughter the same thing. I'm like, get it out.
Yeah.
You might as well get it out because if it's in, it's going to start eating at you. And so you have to let it out.
But, you know, I will tell you, Holly, as a man, even though I'm a gay man, I'm still a man. And I was conditioned to suck it up. And so there are times now, that's why, like, when I physically cry, my throat closes up and, like, my body is like, nope, don't do it.
Yeah.
But then I as an emotionally developed human being, I know that it's healthy to do it. But when you're trained for so long growing up that don't you cry, what you crying for? Suck it up. You don't cry.
Yeah.
I'm going to smack you in your lip if you cry. And when you go through your whole life doing that, it's like it's physically hard to just like,
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's better if you do it in private so that you are the only one witnessing this breakdown. I mean, obviously, if you're telling me that you've been socially conditioned as men not to cry, how you think he gonna do it in front of your ass?
If I put you in my bosom, Scott, the tears are just gonna flow, and you're gonna feel the warmth coming from my bosom, and you're just gonna cry all over me.
I have a feeling that's not the case. Bosom. Your bosom.
Ryan, we need to talk about you, because there are some things happening.
Stuff.
Words.
Ryan, do you want to tell us what's going on with you?
I'm leaving y'all.
But, for real, though.
I got a new job. Y'all gonna cry?
So you're basically,
I mean, I might.
You're basically taking, what, 3 years you've been with us?
Mm-hmm.
And just shoving it down the drain. Our memories, You came in and you rescued us when our old boss wouldn't let us have a producer. And we were drowning in a sea of mediocrity.
Yeah.
And you came and you lifted us up. You patted our faces down with powder. You brightened our smiles on social media with your photography and video work. You really took us to the next level.
Yes.
And now you just take the carpet and you yank it out from underneath us. How much money are they paying you to make that happen, Ryan?
Dear, enough.
A good amount.
Yep.
Yes. All right, so what's
going
on? It
is really sad. It's really sad, but I'm also really excited for you. So.
Yeah, it's fun here, and I don't want to leave. And this side of things is what I like to do. I like to be a part of it. But obviously they're not receptive to any sort of livable wage conditions solely based on radio. So... the promotion side has allowed me to learn a lot about just communications, organization, and stuff like and just marketing in general. But I want to do video and photos and creative stuff. So that's why I like this side of things, because I can do all that and I can be creative with bits or be a part of that. And then. But then I go over there and I'm just swamped and like.
So, because just.
It's not what I need to be wasting my energy on.
Right.
No, it's true. Let me just catch you up in case you're like, wait, what? So, Ryan is our producer and he comes in early. He helps us produce the show. And then, right around 10 o'clock after we're done with everything, he goes over to his cubicle and he puts on the hat of marketing promotions and marketing and director of promotions. And so, it's a lot of. Excel spreadsheets and
detailed work. Like,
and that's not how your brain operates. And I think what's unfortunate about this is that you are someone who I'm actually not sad to see you go. I'm actually happy for you because this was never going to be your permanent home. Because unfortunately, in our radio business, they don't. And when I say they, this is not pointed at anyone in particular.
It's industry-wide.
As an industry, they have not put importance on video and social media. Like, they make us do it.
Right.
But they don't want us to do it. And they want us to do it well, but they don't want to pay the resources to make it happen. And so for someone like Ryan, who is so talented when it comes to photography and social media and just coming up with really interesting out-of-the-box ideas, they're not in a spot to where they see value to pay someone well for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks because if Holly and I made the decisions, you know, you'd be making as much as we do because what you bring to the table is very important.
Right.
But until then, you got to go feed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why for you, like the stuff that we put Scott through, because he was born to do this. Like, Scott, you were born to be on the radio. And that's why I like to see you go through all these challenges. And I'm like, you're going to struggle. But for someone like Ryan, you need to be. Your voice and your creative vision needs to be seen on a higher level than what it's being seen here.
Right.
And so that's why I'm excited for you to see what you're going to do with the next adventure for you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. And you're right, Miguel, because it's like they want us who have not been trained like Ryan has been on his own, by the way, I should add. But they're like, well, what's this part of your job now? Just go do awesome social media. Okay.
Right.
Well, we can do as much as we can. Miguel's really good at it. I have a few skills, like, right. You know, but like Ryan, someone like Ryan can really put it together. And they're like, yeah, that's awesome. But like, I'm not gonna. And it just, it's true that Ryan needs to go and move and do a bigger thing. And like, when I would talk to my life coach about, you know, what I like and what I don't like to do, she would be like, well, does it feel like shackles on or shackles off? And so for this part of the job, it's like shackles off for you because it's creative and fun. The other part of the job is shackles on. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're weighed down. Mm-hmm. You don't feel like you're being used to your highest potential. And that's why you have to go.
Well, yeah. And I haven't, it's not like I haven't tried to figure it out here.
There's really no way to do it,
though. I'm super grateful for them trying to keep me in the building when I got the promotion to full-time.
Right.
Which was awesome because I can stay here and keep doing it. And I learned on the other side, too. But what I also learned is what's not going to work.
Yeah.
Mm. And that is the hybrid.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. I have shackles off on this side, but then I go over there and I can't be my creative self when I want to do photo and video stuff and creative work, but I'm hyper-focused when I'm doing that stuff because that's how my brain works. So if I'm working on the computer for 3 hours on a video or something, I have to catch up with 40 email replies and chains afterwards. Yeah. And then I'm just going to get bogged down.
Yeah.
So it's like the energy that I need to be focusing my energy towards what I really want to do and where I'm going to have the freedom to do it how I want to do. So with this new company that I'm joining, I'll be able to pretty much develop their whole marketing way of video because they are starting it and I'm starting it with them.
Mm.
So that's like my creative outlet and I will have tons of freedom and I can do it how I want to do.
Right.
So that's like my next step is how do I do it'll add to my experience of like, I've built this.
Yeah.
And this is like a good part of my development in that career. So
I think
I've tried to do that here, but then they wanted to pull me out of this portion and put me in the promotions / like a video or whatever role, which that would be great working with the digital team here, but I can't do promotions and creative work at the same time. That's already my problem, and I would be doing more of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
no, you don't have to even, you know, quantify it or qualify it for us. We get it.
I think this is just such a great lesson in life is that you only get one life. Mm-hmm. You only get one. And especially when it comes to the work that you do, you spend so much time doing your job. Why in the hell would you spend it the majority of every day of your life going doing something that you hate?
Yeah. It's killing you.
Because you don't want to retire and then be like, well, I just hated the last 50 years of my life, but I made it. I got my 401k.
Yeah, it's up to you to do what you know sets your heart on fire.
Exactly, because who's to say that when you retired, you got that big 401k from that corporate job that you thought that you were going to appreciate but you didn't, that you're going to have the health to enjoy it after that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know, so you got to live in the moment. So, Ryan, we applaud you, and we are super excited for you.
And I mean, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't. If I didn't think that it was going to...
Are you going to cry?
No.
Are you going to cry? Cry.
I'm not.
Cry, you little bitch.
No!
If I didn't think that it was going to progress me enough as a person, like, it wouldn't be worth it. So, I've held out. I've been looking for a long time of, like, what I could do next, maybe, and nothing has been worth it, so I haven't left, you know? So, I've made, like, a decision based on a lot of factors to do this. And also... it pays a lot more.
Yeah.
So I just bought I just bought a house and I need to like save my money.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to save a lot of money. And even if this maybe for some reason doesn't end up being a super long term thing, I'll still be able to have that nest egg and I can jump off and further my creative work later on my own.
That's because you're a hustler, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
You are a mother... and hustler right here.
Can we just go around the room and say one of our favorite things about Ryan?
Yes.
I just want to share a story that I love about Ryan. And since we may not get a chance to do it.
Valid. Holly, go ahead.
I'm going to go first. So here's my favorite thing about Ryan. My favorite story ever. And this is when I realized that like producer Ryan was an like amazing human being. So, and I don't know why I'm talking about you. Like you're not here. And also like you've died.
Like I died.
You're not dead. But see, that's the thing. We always wait till people aren't here. So I'm going to tell you while you're here.
Here's your eulogy.
So we went to a radio, like a morning show boot camp. It's a morning show conference where a bunch of morning shows from all across the nation come together and learn and do all this stuff. And it was the first year that Ryan came with us as our new producer. And that year I had to confront someone at the bar. And it was a very emotional confrontation because there were feelings involved at that point. So it was highly traumatic for me, may I say.
Mm-hmm.
So I go and I was nervous and I had already told Miguel and Ryan all about it and what was going to happen. So I'm at the bar and I had my confrontation. I was already a little tipsy. So it was like it was rough. So I'm saying my piece and it was one of those awkward situations where like the person that I was speaking to was receptive, but not really giving me anything. Like, I was looking for some kind of closure or something, and he was, like, not giving it. Because, I mean, it's not his job. I just needed to get that off my chest. But as I'm sort of, like, got it off my chest and then kind of, like, floundering around for an exit, out of the damn blue comes Ryan with two drinks in his hand, and he's like, here, I just thought you might want this. And so he gives me the second drink, and he's like, and that was my out. And so then I'm like, oh, thanks, we needed to go anyway. So, like, he got me out of one of the most uncomfortable situations that anyone has been in, and I just, like, I was like, that Ryan's my friend. Ryan, right here.
Ryan's MVP.
I don't even know if he planned it out or if it was just coincidence.
I don't remember.
I don't know. I'm a pretend that he saw me and decided to rescue me with that extra beverage. And it was the best, and I will always appreciate that.
I love that. Scott, what's your favorite Ryan story?
Favorite Ryan story? Well, one, Ryan hired me. Oh. Ryan's the reason I'm even in the building, so thank you. But also, I mean, what I have one story from Morning Show Boot Camp, when, like, that's also, like, when I first started on the show, and I really didn't, like, it wasn't even, I don't think, here every day or stuff like that. And I just remember Ryan, like, we're in conversations with people, and Ryan's just, like, killing it. Ryan goes from, like, you know, all in his head and, like, really working. But then he gets out on the social floor, and it's like people are gathered around Ryan. We're talking about all these things. He's, like, literally just talking up the show, and everyone's just all listening to Ryan while he's just going on about everything he does. And I just thought it was so cool to see that balance of, like, one, so focused on your work, but then two, when it's time to have that conversation with people, all in. But also, scrap that. I mean, I just appreciate you, Ryan, because you taught me literally everything I'm doing here. And why I'm able to continue working on the show, because without your guidance and actually, like, good teaching skills, I wouldn't have it. And I was just thinking about that when you were talking. I was like, wow, like, that's good skill, because there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, and you literally walked me through all of it, and now I feel comfortable doing all of it on my own. So nice. I appreciate that.
Love it.
You're welcome.
You'd be nothing without Ryan.
You're shit. No, just kidding. Literally. You can take, just take the foundation and build it how you want. That's what I do. So I learn from other people, like, you know, whatever it is, either photo or video or anything else. You just get those building blocks and foundation to make it there first, and then you change it and make it your own.
I love that.
Me too.
Ryan, here's my favorite memory.
Why is this about to be creepy?
No, it's not. It's actually very Ryan. This is when I think we'd been working together for a few months, and I went on my cruise, and when I came back from my cruise in July, all of a sudden we're like, we're doing this big old Poke Crawl for Pokemon Go.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, wait, what's happening?
That's,
and
it
was
like, you
were like off the grid.
Yeah.
For a whole week.
Had my phone
off.
You're
like, what can I possibly miss?
Nothing. Seriously. And then, like, all of a sudden we're, like, on the news for doing the Poke Crawl.
Yeah, like, Pokemon Go had, like, sprung up during your cruise.
Yeah.
And so it was me and Ryan left over here just kind of hanging out. And Ryan's like, we should do a Poke Crawl.
Right. And I was
totally
like,
totally his
what?
Idea.
So it was fantastic. So that day of it, we're having fun and everyone's just enjoying themselves drinking. And then we were all at Janice Live in downtown St. Pete. And Ryan was, like, drunk at this point. And, like, Ryan does this thing where, like, he put his arms around Holly and I. And there was, like, some drama behind the scenes with our radio station and some personnel issues.
When is there not?
I know, right? All the time. Yeah. And Ryan was like, just so you guys know. And it's like his mouth gets, like, way up in your ear. And he's like, I'm here for y'all. Y'all. Y'all are the only fucking reasons that I'm here. Y'all. And I was like, thank you. That's the type of producer you want in your corner. You want someone that's going to get drunk, put their arms around you, and be like, I'm here for you. I'm fucking you. I was like, yes, this is my guy right here. This is my guy.
Oh, man.
Oh, and it's not
you.
Like I'm going anywhere. Like,
no,
we
I know.
Still live close by and stuff. So
yeah. We'll still come to parties at your house when y'all start to have them.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes. So I think what we're going to do... all right, so hold on. This is, like, behind-the-scenes stuff real quick. Ryan, when do you want us to put this online?
Oh, hold on. Let me talk to some people first.
Okay. So when this goes public, it'll be public.
It'll be public when it's public.
It'll be public, so we'll just
know
save
that
this.
We recorded it prior to, and he has not put all his ducks in a row yet.
Not yet.
Ryan, what is all of your social media that people can find you?
It's Instagram right now, at Radio McGibb, but I'll probably change it to Tampa Bay Photographer. I have two, so I'm going to switch them.
Gotcha.
And so what's going to be your personal one so people can see pictures of your dong?
You could go on Facebook and just add me, Ryan McGibney.
Whatever. Sorry, nobody puts dong pictures on Facebook.
No, yeah, they're permanent. I don't have like a Snapchat or anything. I don't do it anymore.
No. Okay.
I mean, I might download it now that that filter's out.
Yeah.
That's like the only thing relevant that I've ever been interested in on Snapchat.
That Snapchat filter.
Ryan's going to send you dong pictures on Facebook.
No, he's not.
I have a couple in my inbox. Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram, Twitter, and what?
Facebook?
Facebook is Holly on Hot 101.5.
Scott?
You can get me on Instagram at Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin. On Facebook, Scott Tavlin, same thing.
Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller on Instagram and Twitter, and on Facebook, facebook.com/RadioMiguel. Until next time, Miguel and Holly Uncensored. You can also get it at Hot1015TampaBay.com. You can download the free Hot1015 app or always on iTunes. Please make sure to rate and subscribe. Bye.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot1015TampaBay.com, the Hot1015 app, or on iTunes.